Peter, you may come on up. Peter's going to be reading our scripture today. We move ahead a chapter in the Gospel of Luke. And as you can see on our bulletin cover, Jesus is asking us to take action. He's telling us that we're like lambs among wolves, and that our calling each and every day is to occupy Wolf Street and turn it into Lamb Street. And that's not easy to do, because we meet wolves of all different forms and shapes and voices, and they can be scary and fill us with fear and drive us away so we ignore them or deny that they're even there. But truly, this scripture today is about Jesus telling us what our daily life as a follower of Him should be like. He's not telling us what a missionary's life should be so much as He's telling us all we should be missionaries in our daily life. And in order to do that, He's got some advice on how we're to live. Peter is going to share some of that with us right from the words of Jesus Christ to us.
Good morning, everyone. This morning's scripture is from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 11 and verses 16 through 20. Later, the master selected 70 and sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he intended to go. He gave them this charge: "What a huge harvest, and how few the harvest hands. So on your knees, ask the God of the harvest to send harvest hands. On your way, but be careful, this is hazardous work. You're like lambs in a wolf pack. Travel light, comb and toothbrush, and no extra luggage. Don't loiter and make small talk with everyone you meet along the way. When you enter a home, greet the family. Peace. If your greeting is received, then it's a good place to stay. But if it's not received, take it back and get out. Don't impose yourself. Stay at one home, taking your meals there, for a worker deserves 3 square meals. Don't move from house to house, looking for the best cook in town. When you enter a town and are received, eat what they set before you. Heal anyone who is sick and tell them, God's kingdom is right on your doorstep. When you enter a town and are not received, go out in the street and say, the only thing we got from you is the dirt on our feet, and we're giving it back. Did you have any idea that God's kingdom was right on your doorstep?"
All right, let's just stop right there for a minute and let's understand here what Jesus is really teaching. At the very beginning of this scripture, He tells us He's sending the 70. It's easy for us to read that and think that He has perhaps picked out 70 of His followers, or chosen 70, or 70 volunteered to somehow go out on this journey, and He's giving them the orders for when they leave. But in fact, as we know, especially from those of us studying Revelation, 7 and 70 and any combination of those numbers is the perfect biblical number. It doesn't literally mean that number. It means everything. It's a universal number. So when Jesus says He's sending 70, He means He's sending everyone. He's sending all His followers to the whole world, wherever you may be on any given day. This is how you're to live now. This is your calling for life. No matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter what your day brings to you, no matter where you are, you indeed are one of the 70, one of the called, one of the sent, one of the gifted that He's relying on to carry the message. Did you notice some of the things He said? Pack light. Live a simple life. Bring in your extra clothes and put them on the Barnabas table. Get rid of them. All those things that we attach to our lives weigh us down. They take our attention, our resources, even our hearts. We begin to worship things that we possess instead of Jesus who wants to possess us. Travel light, he says. In fact, he gets specific. A comb. Some of us need a comb. And a toothbrush. Really, other than that, he'll take care of you. And have you ever noticed, like if you've been caught in an airport overnight, you know, and your flight's been canceled and you're not going to get a flight till the next day, and you go up to the counter and ask for help, you know what they give you? A comb and a toothbrush. Here, a little packet. Comb and toothbrush. It's really all we need to get by. He's talking about our daily life and how simple it should be. And what about when we encounter people? Well, we're supposed to go out and encounter people. But don't stop along the way and spend your whole day sitting on the park bench sharing gossip with everybody. That only distracts you from what God wants you to be doing and what God wants you to be talking about. Oh, it's fine to form relationships and say hi to friends and catch up. But do you know how much time we spend in just idle chatter? We can spend the whole... Well, I don't want to get personal. I can spend the whole day in idle chatter. Has it ever happened to you? You see somebody on the street, you got a few appointments to make, you sit down, you share a soda, and before you know it, you not only have caught up with each other, but you now know what their second cousin who lives in New Mexico's barber was doing on their wedding night. Now that conversation has strained pretty far. That's how, and all of a sudden, you've missed two appointments. Has that ever happened to you? Oh my God! How'd that happen? See how easily we get, don't get distracted. Be loving in our relationships, but know what your calling is. You'll lose a whole day doing that. So when you do encounter somebody and you say, peace of God be with you, like we did today, and they treat you well, hang around for a while. Share the word of God with each other. Witness to each other. Testify with each other. Pray with each other, Ethan, right? Spend that holy time with each other in the presence of God, right? And then when you leave, make sure they know the presence of God is right here. Right here. Right here with us. But if you encounter somebody who's not so welcoming, for God's sake, don't intrude on them and make it appear as if Jesus is a bully who won't accept anything except their time and their attention. That's not how Jesus did it. He didn't intrude on anyone. He waited for you to come and then share. You don't intrude on people. And if you share time with them and it doesn't work out, they're not welcoming, don't let them know how wrong they are or how misled they are or what their consequences will be for not loving Jesus. Just go outside and remember, they've probably shared some things that you probably don't want to carry around with you. But let them know the kingdom of God is still right here, just like it's everywhere. You see how God wants us to live? You see the word God has for us, right? Well, he's not done yet. Peter, why don't you finish our scripture?
The one who listens to you listens to me. The one who rejects you rejects me. And rejecting me is the same as rejecting God who sent me. The 70 came back triumphant. Master, even the demons dance to your tune. Jesus said, I know, I saw Satan fall, a bolt of lightning out of the sky. See what I've given you? Safe passage as you walk on snakes and scorpions and protection from every assault of the enemy. No one can put a hand on you. All the same, the great triumph is not in your authority over evil, but in God's authority over you and presence with you. Not what you do for God, but what God does for you. That's the agenda for rejoicing.
Amen. Hey, how about Peter reading scripture today? What do you think? Peter, you know I have to say you came in second. But it was really close. It was really close. He totally understands. So here's the next part of the message. We can get so proud about how we're serving Jesus every day, and we can see the results of miracles, that in time we begin to think, that's me. I'm the one doing that. I'm the one bringing salvation to this house. I'm the one bringing them to church. I'm the one saving their souls. I'm the one creating an opportunity for miracles to happen. My God, what power you've given me. And Jesus says, yeah, I know about that power. I saw Satan fall from heaven. That ego that tells you it's all about you. And all of a sudden you become the demon instead of the angel because you convince yourself you have the powers of God. You see what Jesus says? All the power you have is not yours, it's God's. What you should be celebrating is God's authority over you. The fact that you have submitted and surrendered to God in the world. And when you do that, you will receive His blessings and His power. Not your blessings and power, His blessings and power. Stay humble. Always remember you are a servant of God, a slave to Jesus Christ, a worker in the field, a lamb among wolves. So how's that going for you? How's that lifestyle going for you? I know we're in summer school here, so I always like when I'm teaching to make sure everyone knows where we are today. So I'm going to go back real quickly two classes. Remember two classes ago, we had the Gerasene demoniac? Remember that story? The Gerasene demoniac? Jesus went to the island of the worst terrorist on the face of the earth. No disciples came along, and he built a relationship with them. And he showed how to love them. And he transformed that demoniac into a disciple. And we're all sitting here reading that story going, man, how can Jesus do that? And he expects me to do something like that? You know, I'm having trouble, you know, loving the neighbor who left the dog out all night. You know, how am I going to go to Gerasene and love that demoniac? And the only way we can get our head around that is to understand who Jesus is. And remember those three steps we talked about? If you truly understand, and then you change your behavior, even just in baby steps, conversion will happen. Understand, behavior, conversion. Do you believe in the one true God? Do you believe that true God created everything there ever is, was, or will be? Do you believe that one true God who created all that created you? Do you believe that God also created you in His image? Therefore, do you believe that you hold the power of the divine within you? Because you are created in God's image. Therefore, do you believe that your purpose for life is to live into that divine image? To live the best you can into that purpose that God has put within you? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the model of how you're supposed to live? Do you believe God sent Him to show us what that divine image looks like when it's fully complete? Don't you believe that you are to mimic your life after the life of Jesus Christ, brother, Lord and Savior? Do you believe that? Do you understand that? And if you do, don't you believe, hard part class, graduate school question, don't you believe that's true for every other single human being on the face of the earth? That only God could create a human being. No one else created a human being. And every human being is created the same, all in the image of God. So you're just not called to love those who love you. Jesus says even the sinners do that. You're called to love those opposite from you, as he said in the story about the Gerasene demoniac. The opposite of you. Because that's how we change the world. We bring love where hate festers. We show love to overcome hate. We bring the light that overcomes all darkness. We're the ones who do that. Somebody's got to do it. You lambs among wolves. Somebody's got to do it. Do you understand who you are and who everybody else is? Are you willing to change your behavior in little baby steps to learn how that love works? And over time, if you're willing to do that, all of a sudden you'll say, now I'm willing to do this. And now I'm willing to do this. And by the way, where's that Gerasene demoniac live? I'd like to go ask him what his name is. I'd like to get to know him. And before you know it, you're converted. That's how it works. Understanding, behavior change, conversion. So we're all in on that, right, class? I believe we took a vote after that class and it was unanimous. So if you weren't here, welcome in. That's what you're expected of by God. That's your purpose in life. Right? And so the next week, remember, we had these two little stories and we learned about grace. Because this is all done, not so hard for us to understand this. This is all done and given to us not by anything we can do. We could never earn that kind of love. We are not worthy of that kind of love. We are not worthy to have the God we have in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The only way we have it available to us is by the grace of God. Grace. And we learned about grace in two stories that Jesus gave us. Remember the one story? It was about James and John being with Jesus, and they went to a town in Samaria who hates the Jews anyway, and they weren't receptive to Jesus. They disrespected him. They dishonored him. And they walked away, and instead of doing this, well, the kingdom of God is still at the doorstep. Instead of doing that, they went up to Jesus and said, "Jesus, do you want us to bring a lightning bolt down and incinerate them?" And you're like, "What?" And then you're like, "Yeah, that's kind of how the world works, isn't it? If they don't believe the way we believe, they're enemies. And ultimately, they need to be taken out. And it's justified to go to war with them and kill thousands, millions of innocent people in the name of what? God?" They said, "Do you want us to incinerate those who disrespect you?" And Jesus rebukes them. You see how they misunderstood the message of Jesus, that we're all made in the image of God. We're all equal in God's eyes. We have no authority to harm God's creatures. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to love. As Billy Graham says, right? The Holy Spirit's job will convict you. God's job is to judge. Your job is to love. Any questions? See how confused we get when we don't understand? The second half of that story, right? Remember the second half of that story. They've already talked about those they dislike. Now we get a group of people who just want to follow Jesus. They're excited. You know, they're exuberant. They've caught the fever. You know, they're ready to go. "Let's follow Jesus. I'm converted. Lord, save me. I'm getting baptized tonight." Right? That over-the-top feeling of exuberance that Jesus can put in your heart. But do they really know what following Jesus means? And Jesus goes through this whole list of things. "Do you know what it means to follow me? Oh, we don't have a place to stay? We don't have a place to put our head down? We don't have any meals guaranteed? We don't have an itinerary? We're not staying at the right hotels? Or we don't belong to any airline clubs?" Or what? That's right. You give that all up for Jesus. "Oh, okay. Not sure I want to follow." "Oh, I'll come follow, though. Except I need to turn around and help bury my dead father." Jesus says, "Listen, there's 10,000 excuses to not come follow me. You'll get 100 of them every day. This could never stop, right? I need you to come follow me now. Don't turn back. Don't ever turn back." Oh, and the other one who says, "Yeah, I just need to go tell my family that I'm leaving." Same thing. All those people who wanted to follow Jesus and they thought it was easy. You see, that's cheap grace. Remember, our Lord in that class, cheap grace. Not understanding how costly that grace that you have is. Because you don't have to earn it. You think it's free, even though God was willing to give His only Son up for your grace. It cost God plenty, everything, the life of His Son, for you to follow Jesus. That's not free. That's not cheap. That's costly grace. And God expects a sacrifice to be able to follow Him. So here we are. We've got those 2 weeks behind us. They'll show up on the final exam. Don't worry. You know, the story about understanding behavior and conversion. The story about cheap versus costly grace. So here we are today. Let's get today's lesson in quickly before the bell rings and the class is over, right? He wants you to be the sheep. And we all have the wolf tendencies, don't we? We all have them because we're all alike. All want to have power. All want to make life about us. All want to be in charge. Have control over other people, right? We all want that as part of our life. We think we have a right to it. And Jesus says you need to become like lambs among wolves. You need to travel light. You need to be willing to give up all those temptations of the world, all those things you think are important in your life that if you acquire them, they'll make you happy and joyous and free. You need to set yourself free from that. You need to live a different way. The message Jesus gives us in this is that every day for a follower of Jesus is a mission trip. We are lambs trying to occupy Wolf Street. I want to share a quote with you that's one of my all-time favorites. It's from an author named C.S. Lewis. You know C.S. Lewis? He's probably most known for writing The Chronicles of Narnia. He wrote a lot of children's books, which some have become movies. But C.S. Lewis was raised a Christian till about his teen years, and then he became an atheist. And he had a mentor, a tutor, who was a strong atheist, and he led him down that path of atheism. And he was pretty convinced in this disbelief of the presence, the reality of God. You know, a lot of his stories were written as mythologies about different kinds of gods and, you know, different fantasies about God, and he really didn't believe in God. But he had some friends who did. J.R.R. Tolkien was a friend of his who believed in God. G.K. Chesterton, another great author in Britain, was a friend of his who believed in God. And over time, C.S. Lewis had that epiphany moment, right, where he knew there must be a reality of God, and he set out to prove to himself how that must be true, how the presence of God in the world as the creator of the world must be true. And he wrote this great little book called Mere Christianity. Has anyone ever come across that book or read it? It's one of the first books I read when I was going through my understanding process, right? That first understanding who God is. And I was at Disney World with the family, just to show you the contrast of what's going on there. And I was reading that at night. And this made it clear to me about what my role is if I'm going to be willing to follow Jesus. This is a quote from the book, Mere Christianity. C.S. Lewis says, "Enemy occupied territory. That's what this world is. This world is enemy occupied territory." Right? Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed, that being Jesus Christ as God. You might say landed in disguise. Jesus came as God, landed in disguise, and is calling us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. We are called to overcome the world, to bring the way of Jesus to the way of the world, to use the light that God brings to overcome all the darkness of the world, to use the hope and inspiration of God's will to overcome all of the strength of self-will, to really bring a new way to live to this world that sin has occupied, that sin has taken over, that sin controls because of our self-will. We are lambs among wolves on enemy-occupied territory. And every day we live is that opportunity for us to work for God's way, to follow Jesus' way, to help bring that kingdom that's at everybody's doorstep a little bit closer to reality. Every single day we have, that's the opportunity we have. So the next slide tells us, Luke 10 is about your mission trip. And that's your daily life. Now, sometime along that trip, you might be called to go to Tuscola, or maybe Springfield, or maybe Chicago, God be with you, or maybe New York, or maybe the Rocky Mountains, or maybe the Dominican Republic, or maybe the suburbs of Kenya. But every day, no matter where you are, your life is a mission trip. Like lambs among wolves. What are you called to do? Heal the sick. You bring peace and comfort and joy to those who are hurting. Isn't that what you do? Peace and comfort and joy. You heal the sick. You tell them about the kingdom of God and how different it is and how it can change their life and how near it is and how available it is and how God's not going to barge in and make them take it, but all they have to do is open the door, and it's right on their doorstep. You tell them about that. And by the way, no luggage allowed. Just take yourself and your heart. You don't need anything else other than that. This says, just in case, you know, there's always the fine print when you sign up for something. So far, are you signing up for that, by the way? You might want to read the fine print first. Let me help you with that. Participants will not be provided with or allowed to spend money. You still in? Not sure? How does that happen? Food and accommodation to be arranged as and when we require. Trusting God. No mobile phones. Oh, we just lost a bunch. No mobile phones or other electronic devices will be permitted. Participants should be prepared for harassment, assault, and possibly death. The program is currently short on numbers. So please pray for more. And by the way, at 11:30, the van's going to be out front for all those willing to go on that trip today. You see, this life isn't meant to be easy. Right? It's simple, but it's pure. Right? It's challenging, but it's holy. The things you get from it aren't of worldly value, but the reward is priceless, something the world can never give you. Let's go to the last slide I have today. This is what that team looks like. It looks like us. There's nothing overly special about those 12 disciples and all those who follow Jesus. There's no special certificates they have or degrees they have or skills or talents. Every single one of them is gifted in a very specific way that God has made them. Every one of them has a gift from God to give to the world. Every single one of you is called. You are called today by God to join this mission team, to be part of this effort, to change the world, to be a lamb among wolves, to occupy Wolf Street. Every single one of you is called. But only some get sent. Only some actually go. And as the scripture tells us, not enough. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So today's lesson, class, is about being sent. It's about going from understanding to behavior to conversion to living for Jesus, making every single day that you have a mission trip for God. Amen.